o'clock, Tuesday, February 18th. This is the Ways and Means Function Committee. We'll call the meeting to order and acknowledge that press and the public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. The first item of business is approval of previous meeting minutes from January 21st, 2020. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any changes, comments, discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yes. Citizens' comments? We didn't have a sign-up sheet. Any citizens' comments tonight?
There are none.
All right. Thank you. Move to financial statements that are in your package. Debbie, you want to take it from here?
Sure.
Thank you.
So we have the January results to review. 7 months into the fiscal year, the general fund is 51% collected and 53% spent on the expenditure side. Citywide, we've collected $9 million in revenues and expended $8 million. General fund revenues are strong related to the prior year, but the forecast does show that we will be slightly behind budget. Y'all will recall that this time last year, City Council voted on some increased rates for residential rental licenses and building permits, and we estimated that increase in the budget, and we were a little generous with our estimates. So those will ratchet them down just a bit. It's nothing very large. And parking came in better than we had expected, so that kind of offsets. So as of right now, we're forecasting that the general fund revenues will be about $22,000 below budget when we're all said and done. Now we've got 4 months to go, 5 months to go, so that trend could switch, but just wanted to make y'all aware. On the expenditure side, we're right in line with prior year and slightly below budget. So right now the forecast shows us with a gain on the expense side of the general fund of $248,000. So that's $250,000 predicted positive net result. Y'all will note that that's significantly less than what we've had the last several years. So just wanted to make y'all aware. And we'll continue to see how things flush out. The budget is pretty close. That's the good news. Okay, on cash balances, $21,573 as of January 2020, which is about $3 million higher than this time last year. 33% of general fund expenditures are in cash, general fund cash. That's good. 94% of the city's deposits are at the LGIP in Columbia, earning 1.81% interest. And there's $1 million at BB&T to cover, you know, checks and such. Fund balances, current actual fund balance is $20,790,000. The forecasted fund balance, if everything happened the way the budget or the forecast predicts, will be $16,681,000. Tourism collections for the first half of the year are 2% ahead of the prior year. I have, if you flip to your tourism graph, I've mentioned before that Airbnb is paying state accommodations tax, but is not paying county accommodations tax, which includes the city's 2%. That one taxpayer accounts for $50,000 year to date, which if that money had been collected, we would be at a 4% increase tourism year over year versus two. So it is significant. We continue to stay in touch with the county about efforts to get Airbnb to do what they need to do. There is an alternative that the county is using to communicate directly with taxpayers and trying to get people to pay Airbnb customers to pay the county directly for their portion. So that's, I guess, kind of hard to enforce. tracking all those folks down, because you really don't know who they are, right? But there, that is an option.
Does this not tie back to the software that we're looking at and knowing where the Airbnbs are? That's a Desiree question.
Yeah, there's the potential.
So if we chose to take an action in that direction, because we now have the ability to identify the Airbnbs, we could, as a council, decide that we're going to assess them at a tax amount, correct?
But you have to keep in mind the county collects our taxes.
Correct, correct. I mean, you have to partner with the county.
If we just support the county's efforts, we'll benefit.
Yeah, because we've had no ability up till now to know other than self-reporting.
Okay, I think that covers the financial reports. Any questions so far? Project worksheets, drainage phase 3. There have been expenditures for the project that involves the design and permitting of the small, high impact projects in the basin, and then engineering and design for the outfall drainage phase 3 project. Nothing else to report on drainage phase 3. Public safety, we made some payments to William Scotsman for rent on the construction trailers. That $37,000 you see is a full year's rent plus the setup. Nothing else there, just some relocation type costs. That's all I have.
Questions for Debbie?
One question, and I'd like Douglas to answer it. One of the things we talked about up at the Municipal Association meeting, I guess, a few weeks ago, was business licensing. And they said it should be city policy to, especially like the brick and mortar stores out there, businesses who are applying for business license, is to take their page one of their financials from their income tax forms and take that number off that. Is that a policy that we're doing now?
No.
Okay. And that's one thing that they had suggested, because it's all protected, but it gives a true, accurate number of what business is going on up here. So.
The only complication is if they are conducting business in other locations, then that IRS number, it's not necessarily going to tie out to the amount of business that they're reporting for the Owl Palms.
Right.
I mean, I think it, for brick and mortar, like, restaurants and whatnot, it would be a lot easier.
We've talked about it internally.
Yeah.
And brick and mortars would be a very small percentage of the overall number of licenses that we deal with. So that would probably be possible. But you know, you start talking about trying to do it for 5,000.
Well, obviously you can't do it for contractors and buildings like that, because that's based on per project.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we have been talking internally to address some of the concerns with contractors and not brick and mortar of what we could do as a sort of establish an auditing policy with the county. So we've been looking at that and trying to see if we could get them to conduct a 200, 100, whatever number we feel comfortable with, and audit those, some of the business licenses, to see whether we're leaving money on the table.
Right. Right now we have no, there's no checks and balances for that, per se.
We do check them every month. I'm just looking at historical and its reasonableness. And roughly there's a handful of businesses here that amount to maybe 80% of the revenue. So we do look at that. But I think that
it's based on stated income, correct?
What is?
Self-reported.
So, yeah, correct. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Okay. That's all.
Business license.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've had the county do auditing for us in the past, and we've talked about doing that again. They have on-staff auditors that do that for the county. It didn't yield much to us the last time we did it. We could certainly do that again and see if it's see if it's different. And if we focused on the in-town brick and mortar places, it's a pretty finite number, so we can pretty readily do that. And
kind of unfair to single out the brick and mortar.
Correct. No, I agree. And I think with the new business license regulation, or perhaps coming down the pipeline in the state, might help out as well.
Yeah, and you know the way that it would work with the county keeps any penalties associated with underreporting, and then you know you would assume that after going through that process that they would be reporting accurately. So the city would benefit at that point, but the county would basically pay themselves for the work by getting the penalty.
Thank you, Debbie. No old business. Under new business, I'd like to make a motion that we reorder the agenda and cover item E with the Trident folks while they're here. A second.
I'll second.
Questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Brian or Desiree, what do you want to
do?
Go ahead. Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, we had Chris Burrow. I always mispronounce your last name, Burl. And Arnie with their Trident or design contractor team, design build team that's working with the public safety building. They have finalized phase two of the contract, which it focused on the design and getting all those cost estimates sort of nailed down to real numbers that we can work off. And we now can compare what the current estimates for the work and the work that needs to be done compared to the rough order of magnitude numbers that we saw in that report after the investigative work was complete. So, Chris, do you want to come up and sort of speak to some of the...
Can Arnie come up, too?
And Arnie, yeah, both of you. Share the mic. So we're going to talk about where we are compared to budget and then some alternatives and options that we have before us to decide whether we want to pursue and include that in the budget. It's mostly associated with the aesthetics of the building and, to get some feel from where council feels moving forward with the total number of the budget that you all would be approving as the third phase of the contract to move forward with construction. And as you all know, according to schedule, we would be ready to start mobilizing in March.
All right. Thank you, Desiree. Thank you, Council. As Desiree mentioned, my name is Chris Burrell, and I'm with Trident Construction. I also happen to live on the island at 2702 Cameron Boulevard. It's been a great pleasure working with Desiree, the Chiefs, and Doug, and all other parties working through the process. And believe it or not, it's been close to a year since we got engaged and have been involved in the public safety building. And through that process, we went through and did an exhaustive investigation to determine what was wrong with the building and what we needed to do to correct what was ailing it. We've worked through a collaborative approach with the help of the city staff and other industry professionals to come up with what we think is what's going to be necessary to deal with that. Through that process, we priced the various versions of the drawings as they've gotten developed and reported back whether we were on budget or not. And as things went, sometimes we were up, sometimes we were down. As of the last cost estimate that we've done based off of the permit set of drawings, we're currently about $160,000 over that budget that we originally started with, but I'm happy to report that we've got options that we can recommend tonight to get us back under the budget and to get this thing moving forward. And with what we're proposing, it's items that we can, depending on how the project goes, from our contingency standpoint, add those back in if the town so chooses to do so. So, like I said, we're about $160,000 over that budget. I would like to note that in our total price, we're still maintaining 10% contingency to cover unknowns from our standpoint. The town is also carrying a line of contingency on their side in addition to ours, but ours started out at 20% and we've ratcheted it back down to 10%. So, I guess, you know, we'll get over and start opening things up, and it should be apparent pretty soon as to if there's anything that's, so to speak, unforeseen. to that note, a couple of the items that we had suggested and put out there that could be value engineered items has to do with the entry into the building. Currently, right now, you guys, if you walk by it, you see that it's got that trellis on the outside that it just wasn't the right material for the right application. Given where we are, we're 700 feet away from the ocean. It's a very, very harsh environment, and that structure that's there now just really is, it just needs to come down. And if you put something back in its place, it has to be something that's all weather purpose. That won't require a lot of maintenance. Arnie had proposed, as a part of the skin design, with going back with stuff that's going to hold up to the elements, simplifying the design and the way the outside looks from a detail standpoint so that we can accurately and adequately waterproof and get any water that gets in out. So he simplified it, but he also brought up that we need to have an entrance cover over the front doors so that any blowing rain and stuff doesn't get into the building. And Arnie proposed, I guess, more of a focal point.
Yeah, a larger structure. Since we're removing the sort of feature on the front of the building now is the trellis.
Yeah.
And we're removing that trellis. So we gotta do something at the front door. And so our design, and this is what the bid numbers came in at, was based on, I don't know if I want to say a two-story porch, but an element that's taller that creates a sense of, you know, focal point for the front of the building and a sense of entry. And as I mentioned in the committee meeting the other day, our number one goal is to give you a healthy building and fix the problems that are in it. But at the same time, we're also don't want to give you an ugly building that, you know, you're not proud of. This building is a facility of the town's, represents the people here in the municipality. So this element ended up costing us more than we had hoped it would, because it does have to be independently structured for the building, has to be able to withstand hurricane force winds, and also be of materials that are weather resistant, solid air resistant. So once we got into the design of it, it got a little bit bigger price tag than we had originally estimated in the project. And so it came, as we got the final numbers back, it became pretty obvious that at least one of the sort of easy options to get us under budget would be to not build that element like that. And I think I see some of you have, and I have a couple more of these if you need them, images. If you've got a stapled set, I know the first two images are the entry structure as we budgeted and then ultimately priced. The second two sets of images gives you a little bit better idea of what we could do as sort of a minimum cover on that, and that would be what we would do. We're now saying basically in the base bid,
mm-hmm.
Would be a kind of minimum front porch. Mm-hmm. We're actually looking at trying to reuse some of the awning material that's on the existing building, and because it's the actual awning over the front door that's part of the trellis system right now is still in okay shape. It's all the wood that's around it that's not. So that would now be what we're asking you to include in the base bid, with an alternate to add the larger element back in. And since we have this contingency, our thought is that within, and we'll have to figure out exact time periods, but there'll be some time to do some demolition, and we'll get a better sense of if there are any real surprises ahead. And at some point during the design process, there'll be a point where we say, okay, we need to know, do you want to add that back or not? And that'll be a back and forth. It won't be us telling you have to do it, but we'll have a period of opportunity where I think we will all have a clearer picture of where we stand on contingency. And contingency certainly is enough to cover that and still have contingency left afterwards. So that's the kind of game plan that we're proposing to y'all tonight, I think.
In addition, we had talked about in the apparatus bay where the fire trucks park, that area is, while it's not readily exposed to the elements, the doors, when they stay open, you get the salt air and stuff in there. And over the 10 years that the facility's been in use, you're starting to see some rusting up on the steel. And we thought it'd be important to go ahead and address that now. The police side's a whole nother different animal. It's totally needs to be stripped down and redone, even from the sprinkler pipe to the electrical conduit, to stripping down the steel and getting it down to good solid stuff and putting a high performance coating on it, so that that area in particular will be protected for years to come. We also got into thinking, well, you know, Chief Ann's going to be moving out while we're working on the facility, making the repairs and stuff. It made sense to just go ahead and say, okay, rather than kick the can down the road, just put an alkyd-based paint on that steel to mask the rust that's there. Let's go back and let's look at doing a high-performance coating on that as well. So we had suggested that, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think we had recommended, I guess, at our real property meeting that we would recommend still doing the high-performance coating in that area. And again, that's not something we have to do right off the bat. If we get in a position where we need to be conscientious of the dollars because of unforeseens and the like, then we can say, okay, we won't do that. We can do that as a deduct alternate and go back to something, you know, a similar coating that has lasted as long as it has, 10 years. But anyhow, so we were suggesting that we do, as Arnie said, go with the simplified design for the entry as far as today, but having that alternate that we get at a specific point in time when it would be needed to make that decision to add the more attractive entry, but also go ahead and include the apparatus bay high performance paint so that, hopefully Chief Ann's not going to have to move out of this thing for a while. It would be a shame to have, you know, rust start dripping through, you know, the paint and stuff when she's got her new trucks pulled in there after we've done all this
work.
You
won't be around.
That's right.
Well, and if we wait, costs would go up. And then part of those costs would be having to move everything out. So it just makes sense to go ahead and do it as part of this overall project. And that's the recommendation that was approved at Real Property, just going with the simplified design. And then they would notify us when the drop-dead date would be for us to notify them. Do we want to pursue, our contingency is looking good, do we want to pursue with a more enhanced entrance for that building. If that is the will of council, if y'all don't like any of the design, then, you know, we would kind of need to know. But yeah, we wanted to present the two options to you all and get a feel from, you know, what you think of it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, we felt in Real Property that doing the line item for the larger portico was felt appropriate, with knowing that there is a drop-dead date. But we definitely felt that the using the high-performance paint within the apparatus phase, as long as we're doing it within the police department, we saw what happens over time, obviously, just because of the economies of scale, and as long as it's getting all done at the same time, just to utilize that. Otherwise, like I said, with the other type of paint, within years, we'd probably have to redo it again. Mm-hmm. So extend the lifetime of the apparatus bay and that equipment in there. We thought it was better for not much more. Mm-hmm. So.
Desiree, do you want to do this in form of a motion and we have more discussion, or do you?
Yeah, there's no more discussion. Okay. Then there's, we would need a motion.
Let's go ahead and take care of that, then we can have more discussion. So our consideration in front of us is a recommendation from the Real Property Committee to award a contract in the amount of $5,256,159 to Triton Construction for the third phase of the public safety building repair project. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Other discussion or questions or comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
Number one, I totally agree with Ron. I think, you know, we like those doors open. We like people visiting our fire station, looking at our equipment and everything. I mean, it's a and be proud of, but living on the beach is brutal. And I love this front entry, but the lower one probably gives you more weather protection.
From blowing rain.
Blowing rain.
We have that sort of horizontal van is to help catch some of that blowing
rain.
Such
a good looking building, that
right.
upper one.
Yeah, it just
more,
makes a little more statement to
right.
the street to say, you know, hey, this is our building. But I think either
you're
one,
that, yeah.
either one's going to solve the problems you have with that building. Mm-hmm. It's just it's a matter of choice and dollars, unfortunately. Choice and dollars.
Yeah.
So.
It's a little confusing with the two contingency funds. Can you review where we are with contingency at this point?
So the numbers that they have presented included 10% contingency. At the beginning, it had a 20%.
For Trident, correct.
Within the number that you're approving tonight.
Correct. So they are keeping a 10% contingency. If that is not used, it comes back to the city. But they're keeping that just to give them some flexibility and some wiggle room. On top of that, the city included a 15% contingency that we are carrying for our purposes in the event that something unforeseen happens.
Haven't gone there yet.
Correct. No.
Okay.
So the idea was of that 15% and their 10%, if we get to a point where we need to make a decision and nothing major has come up, once we start peeling the onion, then we'd have budgeted funds available to make that decision to go with the enhanced entrance if it is the will of council.
So the actual difference between the two options and costs is what?
It's
$176,000.
Oh. So that's how it gets you under budget real fast.
This costs $176,000 more?
Yeah,
which is more than we all anticipated.
Correct.
But by the time you do the concrete and the block and the things it takes to do it.
I don't think it's that pretty. I mean, it's pretty.
For the
record. But it's not $176,000
yeah.
pretty.
Right. That's why we put it in the line item. John, just a clarification for Chris or Desiree or whoever. Tonight, the action that we could take would be to say, really the only action I think that might be definitive is we want to spend more money. We definitely want the pretty one, and we definitely want the high-performance coating. Because if tonight we say, great, let's just wait and see what comes up, what I'm hearing is we can decide to add either of those options.
Yes, sir.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
So the only definitive action that we would take is spend everything.
Well, I think
I'm asking a question in the form of a statement.
No, so
we're missing a part of the motion that we did in real property, which was the ad addendum.
Yes, that's an alternate. So we would bid it as an alternate, just so that we have those prices back from the contractor. But we would not; it would not be part. We would not be moving forward with that enhanced entrance until we are. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's 3-4 months into the construction of the project, and we can go back and say, well, oh, we haven't had to use any of our contingency, the worst has passed, and
mm-hmm.
we're probably going to have this money at the end of the project. We can go ahead and feel, you know, if we feel we love this new design, we can spend $176,000.
Yeah, John, there's a sheet at the end of your
looking at
that. So the bid or the price point tonight is without the enhancement, without the coating.
No.
The coating, the recommendation was to include the coating as part of the budget. We're not going to wait where we are. We think it's important
mm-hmm.
to go ahead and include it as part of the base bid.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
the differential there is that portico that we would bid as an alternate.
And that included does get you under the
correct.
The painting included gets you under the budget.
$620 under budget. You're looking at this sheet in your packet?
Got it.
Okay.
I found it.
Good.
So scope adjustment option 2.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
For $5,256,159.
Correct. Other questions? Okay.
I've got just a point of clarification also on the coating. So the coating that's currently on there, which is not high performance, and it only lasted 10 years. So the high performance coating lifetime,
You know, it's, we talked about this in real property, that the way these paint manufacturers work, for them to give you something on it that says it's going to be 15 years or 20 years, you have to pay a significant premium. And they have to be a part of the spec writing, they have to be a part of all the field inspections, and they have to do this, that. I mean, there is a cost for them to do all that, don't get me wrong. But when we weighed the options of doing that, instead of just, okay, we're going to go with a PPG, high performance epoxy paint, it's really, number one, it's the applicator. We're using a company called Phillips Industrial, who is 99% of their work is all industrial in nature. I worked with them previously down at the South Carolina Aquarium on the salt marsh aviary, where we repainted that steel that's been out there. And it was, you know, it was galvanized steel that had been painted 20 years ago, and it right. finally reached its useful life. But it was a high-build epoxy paint, but we went through Tanemic on that one. And for the aquarium to get something in writing that said that they would give them 15 years or whatever it was costly. Here, you know, it's like that adage says, that paint's only as good as the prep. So the prep work that Phillips goes to and does is what's really going to ensure that that paint and that primer is going to bond to it, get all the rust off that's there now to cap all that stuff, and that'll give it the life. It's, you know, we can pay through the nose and get a written warranty that's really only going to give us paint whenever it's, you know, there is a problem. It's really more about the experience of the applicator and their reputation, I think, for them, and the way that they prime the substrate.
Okay. Okay. What is their warranty or what?
So the industry standard for the paint is you get a year warranty from the applicator, and then the manufacturer will give you some, you know, number of years. I think it's 5 years or something like that. But again, it's really what you'll see in the difference of this product versus the product that's currently on there now, which is basically an alkyd dry fall paint that they went up, they sprayed it. Who knows if they got the mill scale off the steel before, what kind of prep that they really did to it. But when you look at the performances of this type of paint versus what's there, the stuff that was down on the aquarium, it really was still adhered really well to the steel. It was the UV that kind of started breaking it down. So, I mean, I would expect if this particular paint that's on there now has lasted 10 years, I would say confidently that it's going to last 15 to 20. But are we going to get PPG to say that without, you know?
They'll say it, but for a price. You pay for that warranty.
And we
think there's a balance there. You know?
And one thing you can look at is the police bay versus the fire bay, where the police bay, I mean, well, it's been 10 years, it may have failed 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Basically, the amount of deterioration and rust, and and you guys have pictures of it in your packet as well. So, because that's always open to the elements. So, it's, you know, they may fail at different levels, just depending on the environment. But it's, yeah.
And there is also, on the police side, there were some non-galvanized items and things that exacerbated. Like if you look at some of those sills and stuff, we're pretty sure they were not galvanized, right. And they just fell apart. You know, so we're going to go back with the right stuff. The material that's replacing those is not going to be the same. So that will also, you know, reduce the chance for corrosion.
One last, you know, I've learned a lot just recently. Probably 5 years ago, I bought a cheap fire pit, Lowe's, and it rusted after no time. And I just recently bought this new Corten steel fire pit, and it's made to rust, and the rust seals it in, and it's got a lifetime warranty. We can't go back and retrofit what we're doing here, but yeah. I learned a lot about steel just recently.
It forms a protective coating, just like galvanizing is protective coating on the steel. But
Power poles in Mount Pleasant.
Right. And that's right. You see a lot of you see more and more of the core 10. I've even seen it used for guardrails now on some of the highway departments starting to switch over from galvanized to that.
Again, we can't go retrofit today.
Not today.
Here goes our budget.
I started to say, oh, yeah, we can.
Chief Graham, quick comment.
I would like for y'all to know the 10 years in the fire bay, he's accurate. The police bay started failing about 4 years, so it did not last time. So you weren't there for that part, but it failed pretty quickly. So I think you went right. You're good.
Yeah, worth it.
Any other questions, comments? We had a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, folks.
Great. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the help.
And we know where to find you.
Yeah. I'll write your address. That's how to get mine.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, guys. All right, we'll move back to the first item under new business, consideration of recommendation from the Public Safety Committee for an award of a contract to Munderland Pyrotechnic in the amount of $25,000 for the July 4th, 2020 fireworks show. Ryan or Desiree, anything to add?
We issued a request for proposals. We received a proposal from the same vendor that conducted the show for the past 4 years. Very pleased with them and pleased with the shooter. I've learned that the shooter is very important. So as long as we have the right shooter, that's...
sounds terrible.
And, we have $35,000 budgeted under state ATAC, state accommodations for this event. Some of the other auxiliary expenses associated with that include, overtime expenses for personnel who work that event. It's pretty much all hands on deck with public safety. So it's up for you
all.
We have
a motion around this motion for consideration. Do we already do that?
Second.
Is there a motion?
No.
I just made a motion to approve.
Okay.
Wow.
I do have a question.
We need a second.
Ryan seconded it.
Yeah.
Is this the same, the last deal we had, we had a three-year? Are we doing a single year, or are we doing, is this another multi-year?
It would be, it's only, we have the option to renew up
same
to three
as,
years. Correct, yeah. And that's up to the city to decide if they want to exercise that renewal.
Are they biodegradable at all? Do we know?
They aren't, I don't know. I don't think so.
At all? Any eco-friendly aspects to...
Most of the bad stuff goes up and blows up. And the cardboard comes down, we pick up the big chunks the next morning. We send a crew out.
And the past 2 years, the police department has conducted a beach sweep. Not the police department, but with the community. We've been advertising that heavily, and we have, folks that come up. After the fire department will pick up the big pieces, like Chief Graham said, that night. So
the contractor, does it have any responsibility for the cleanup at all?
They clean
the pier where they're shooting from. We've never had any issues with them. Very safety conscious. They do a really professional job.
John?
Thank you. Two questions about one. I'm just curious, do we have any other submissions to the RFP? And two, I just want to understand the extension component just to make sure that we're not, I think having the extension is good as long as it's, I don't want to circumvent the RFP, but I don't think this is something where we want to do every year we want to issue a new RFP.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that that's consistent.
It's consistent to the last contract. It gives the city the option to renew if it wishes to do so. We're not locked in any way, shape, or form. It just locks in the price.
Right. But it doesn't, I think you're answering my question, but I just want to be sure that we're not putting ourselves in a place where we're showing favoritism to one vendor by not issuing an RFP, that the language, the way that this is structured, doesn't put us in that position.
No, yeah.
How many vendors responded?
Only one this time. Not a lot.
That's part of the reason why I said this, but so I don't want to do an RFP every single year.
Correct.
Right, yes.
That's part of the reason why we give ourselves that option to renew, because
correct.
I think the last time we bid it out, we had two respondents, but one was out of state, and I'd have to go back to the file to refresh my memory, but there's just not a lot of folks that
no.
do this type of work at this magnitude, really.
Other questions, Mayor?
One quick. The amount of shells and stuff compared to what we've done is the same show?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Same number as last year.
Same mm-hmm. number. I mean, it was a great show. And to your point about the shooter, Mother Nature also has a little yeah. play in it mm-hmm. that kind of gave us some challenges a couple years. Mm-hmm. But shooters are important.
I will say, I have mixed feelings. I'll vote for it. But after helping to clean up fireworks after the Johnson & Johnson show in November,
yes.
I have a better feeling for the amount of trash that it can create. So, but I know that the community wants it, and I doubt that there's a groundswell to not have it.
Rusty, do you have a question?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. We've got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Next item is item B, consideration of recommendation from Public Works Committee of a 5-year renewal of the beach garbage collection contract with JLG Enterprise. You've got a copy of the amendment in your package. Can I have a motion to
so move?
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Questions,
yes,
ma'am.
Yeah, just as background and as a reminder, the city had a different contractor for a long time performing these services. He sold that business to JLG Enterprise. He also has a business on the island, somebody that we have known, and he bought the business from Bill Shubb, and the city approved an assignment of that contract to JLG Enterprise back in 2018. For a period of 1 year as a trial period, because we kind of got used to Bill Shubb and wanted to make sure that before approving an assignment of a contract that still had 5 years left, that we would be satisfied with their level of services. So we approved the assignment with that caveat of a trial period. That trial period ended in December 2019. We had a lengthy conversation at Public Works with the contractor, and Donnie chimed in about how satisfied he was with what they have been doing, that it was the first time that Donnie received positive comments from the community saying, you know, what a good job they have been doing, and they really have gone above and beyond and have done a fabulous job with the beach garbage collection. So we made a recommendation to Public Works that the city approves the 5-year extension that was left on the original contract. And basically the same schedule there in the contract, there is a schedule and the description of the scope. The cost for picking up garbage on the beach, so just as a reminder, they pick up the yellow barrels on the beach and on the street between Breach Inlet and Wild Dunes, tip to tip from on the beach side, and then on the land side from 21st through 56th Avenue. And then they also pick up the garbage down at Front Beach and Ocean Boulevard from Breach Inlet to 14th Avenue. And they also pick up recycling. And there is a schedule that's included in the contract depending on the month of the year, how many times they pick up. So in the busy season, he picks up garbage 7 times a week. And then it kind of changes depending on the month. And we always have the ability to call him, and Donnie or I will call and say, hey, we need him to come and pick it up this week because it's a really great spring week and we have had a lot of activity, so rather than 3 times a week, I need him to come 5 days. So we budget a little bit more to give ourselves that flexibility, and actually the contractor is good at saying, hey, you know, I'm seeing a lot of activity, or I'm not seeing a lot of activity, so I don't think there is a need to come 3 times a week this week, only 2. So we have that, you know, communication with the contractor. Any questions?
Other questions?
Just a comment. I mean, what Desiree said, I've been impressed by this group doing the work, and it really struck me with Donnie talking up about how he's gotten compliments he's never gotten before from your citizens and how well they do and how responsive they are. It's certainly impressive. I'm in favor of this myself.
And when you mentioned recycling, that's specifically beach recycling.
Correct. That is correct. Thank you for that.
We have some flexibility within this. If we decide that beach recycling isn't working, mm-hmm. that we can adjust within this contract.
Yeah. Yeah. With their
agreement,
there's
a scope of work defined in the contract, and mm-hmm. we change the scope. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Other
questions? We've got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And just for the record, and I meant to say this earlier, it's funded by state aid tax and muni aid tax, the expense for that, and it comes out at roughly $101,000 a year for everything.
Item C, consideration of recommendation from ATAX, a sponsorship request from the City of Isle of Palms in the amount of $2,000 for the purchase of reusable bags for visitors to encourage beach cleanup while visiting the IOP beach. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Desiree or Debbie?
All right. Yeah, I'll do this one too. We presented this request to the state to the Accommodations Tax Advisory Committee, and it's $2,000 to buy as many as we can with the $2,000 of these little bags. Before I show this, we are, as you all know, we are working with the Charleston Visitors Bureau, the CVB, and the Town of Sullivan's Island on a joint education campaign related to the plastics ban and the smoking ban. We thought it would be a good idea to have a consistent message and a global audience through the CVB, and they've been wonderful at creating a brand, creating logos, and we are getting close to rolling that out. We want to do it closer to the beach season so that we capture everybody's attention. We have been talking about a day event, a beach sweep on both islands, where we're going to invite folks from different companies that typically come and bring their employees to do voluntary work and beach sweeps. So we're working on that, and it's going to be great. But we thought that it would be a good idea to do something where that we can use to promote cleaning the beach and picking up the beach. So this is Sullivan's. They're doing this over there. They haven't rolled it out just yet, but it'll be part of the education campaign, where similar to what we do with the t-shirts, where we encourage folks who are staying here and spending ATAX dollars on the island, they come in and get a free t-shirt, and we sign them up in the newsletter, and then we send them a bunch of information about the city. So it would be similar. We would, part of the education campaign would be, you know, come pick up a reusable bag and, you know, help pick up after yourself, or, you know, do a quick beach sweep in the area that you're, you know, that you're enjoying on the beach. And we would put the logo that we're working with the CVB. It's going to be very catchy. It's not final yet, so I'm going to keep that to myself for now. But that's the idea, to just have this at Recreation Center and City Hall and Public Safety Building so that we can distribute it to folks and just encourage a culture of, you know, if you're walking the beach, just take it with you. And did you see how convenient it is? Compact. It's nylon. It's not plastic. It's not cotton. And you know, you don't have to touch it. But you know, so that you can reuse it. Look how clever that is. Y'all can see it's my idea, right? Am I selling this?
Good job.
And then you just put it in your bag and just have it with you all the time, and help pick up trash that you find on the beach, which hopefully with, you know, these ordinances, it'll be less trash every year.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Desiree, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when we first went to the single-use plastic bag ban, we had some folks bringing similar products into City Council to show. I still got one or two of them left in my house. I thought they were real cool, and having our logo and stuff on the outside, another way of promoting our lovely piece of paradise.
Yes.
I'm just curious, do you have an estimate of how many bags, $2,000?
I think it's right under 1,000, like 700-ish that we would get. I mean, the unit price goes down as, you know, we buy more.
Why $2,000?
We thought that would be reasonable and not too much. I mean, y'all can approve a lot more.
I'm curious, how does that compare with the t-shirt? Like, I don't know how many t-shirts we give out a season. I would assume this would be a similar quantity.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that right now. I don't know how that would compare. We just picked 2,000 and kind of started off there and see how popular it would get.
So we can discuss it.
I thought we were
going to have a motion.
Okay. continue on that, because I got another question.
Well, we just picked the number, 2,000, and, you know, we thought we'd see how it goes and kind of start from there.
Susan, real quick.
I had just a suggestion. Some of the businesses in the past have told me that they would like to see, be able to have some consistent signage that you would see around town in different establishments explaining trash-related guidelines, suggestions. So just putting that out there.
Yeah, well, definitely.
They're open to displaying those kinds of things in their businesses. And I don't know if maybe you would want to pull the bag thing too, but definitely some signage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mayor.
Yeah, going to Mr. Moy's $2,000 and the number of them. I think with our T-shirts, we do one shirt per family in a rental house. So it'd probably be a good way of trying to spread them out for more people visiting our beach.
Well,
we can always adjust it.
We can adjust it if we think.
Good place to start.
Yeah.
But we just felt like maybe that was a good place to gauge and see how interested people are in picking trash.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Rusty, go ahead.
Yeah, where do they pick the bags up? Where do they get these?
So we would have them at City Hall. We could have them also at the rec center, maybe, and public safety building. So city, obviously city offices.
And would it be like a limit one per family?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you envision?
Yeah. Similar to our T-shirt program.
Okay. Brian?
I think one of the biggest things we had when we moved forward with Plastics Ban and some of the other was the educational programs that should, you know, parallel with it, and we haven't really put anything together yet. Besides, well, because we were going to do a big global campaign, carry in, carry out, and I think this is a good step forward on that, and moving forward with those money's got to go somewhere, and then I think it's a good, if we're going to promote carry in, carry out, and it's a good way to promote it.
One other question. So since it's unit price based, if we were willing to spend more money, obviously, the cost per bag goes down. Do we have any idea of the variable? I mean, because when you purchase again, you're getting the same price again for the same unit. You're not getting a cumulative deal. So if we had the will to spend more money because we believed in your sales pitch so strongly, would it be smart for us to go ahead and buy more?
And purchase more? I can have those, since y'all approved tonight, and for City Council, I can get those numbers for you all, since you're feeling so generous.
Well, we like the way you presented it.
Very good. Kudos to me then.
This logo better be good.
If y'all want to approve 2,000 tonight, and then y'all can amend it next week.
It's a good starting.
Yeah.
My only other thought would be that maybe our Islanders would also like to have this bag, or since they could use it all year round to pick up their trash.
Sweet people.
Yeah, and be part of the club.
Sure.
Carry your bag.
With a cool bag.
Other questions, comments? Hope we've had a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next one, also from ATAX, consideration of recommendation from ATAX of sponsorship request from Lucky Dog Publishing in the amount of $4,000 for advertising new beach rules in SIP Magazine and Island Eye Newspaper. I have a motion.
Motion to approve.
And a second.
Second.
Similar, this would be, this was a request by Lucky Dog Publishing. The idea was to include an ad in the next SIP magazine, and I believe 9 in the Island Eye newspaper. The idea is this information goes out for tourists, so state ATAX should be paying as part of tourism promotion so that folks who are not from the Isle of Palms know what some of the new rules they need to abide by. So it's similar, it would be part of this whole campaign, just be advertising in these this magazine and this newspaper, just as a starting point.
I just have a question related to, I'm glad to hear the CDB contributing to the work that we're doing there. This type of cost, is this something where they would, of the almost $600,000 that we're giving them, maybe throw in either a match and increase the amount of space or that we can get or anything like that where they can help contribute some of this advertising cost, because that's what they're supposed to do for us, right?
Correct. And that is part of the plan with this education campaign, for them to include it as part of their promotional materials with the IOP, about the IOP. They have been working on this for the city, and you know, for a number of months, and they have been very great to work with. They come with great ideas and are really dedicating a lot of time to this education campaign. I mean, definitely can go back and ask them to match part of the cost.
Kevin.
Yeah, I was just wondering, how many ads do we get in the island?
I believe it's
11 weeks.
11 weeks?
Just from reading the...
From ATAX, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 11 weeks for some of what sticks in my head from...
And to follow, and what size ad?
Yeah.
Quarter page, half page?
So I'm not seeing the...
I don't think it was in this package.
It was not?
No,
because that would have been in city, it's going to be in city council.
Yeah.
11 sticks in my head, but I'm sorry.
It was 11. I'm sorry, I don't have the. I thought that this was in the packet. do y'all want to defer and take it up next week? It should have. And I apologize.
Before we defer, can I add another question in there, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I think the SIP magazine is a beautiful magazine, and I would, if we did this, I'd like to make sure they have enough copies to put in each one of the rental houses on all farms, and maybe some extra when people come off with them to replenish with our rules and regulations as a way of promoting all farms.
Susan? I just realized I should probably recuse myself.
Was there a motion?
Because I still occasionally...
There's a motion to approve that request.
...get paid by a SIP magazine.
So. That would be a city council.
Yeah. We can give you a recusal form.
I'm not saying.
So, yeah, Desiree, I don't know that we need to defer it. I mean, the question is just really how many ads and what size.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody sounds like it, and yeah, we'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we've had a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. We can have clarification next week at council for some final numbers. Thank you. Next item, we have consideration of recommendation from the Real Property Committee to extend the parking agreement with the Palms Hotel for use of the municipal parking lot and include provisions for automatic renewal and to adjust rates as determined by council. Have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you. Ryan or Desiree?
Yeah, this one's just basically an annual contract that we have with Palms Hotel that allows them to utilize the parking lots for their guests. Based on our rates, and our contract basically will go through and adjust. If we were to go through and adjust our parking rates as well, it'll adjust with that. Does that have anything?
Yeah, when the parking lots were managed by a different vendor, the city RFP'd and had a different vendor manage the use of the parking lot, and would pay him fees, and he would pay a lease number to the city. They had an agreement with that vendor to allow them to park in the municipal parking lot, and then at the end of the month he would pay whatever amount was due based on the number of vehicles and the day of the week. We would be doing the same thing, honoring that agreement. We believe it's in this, you know, I think it's in everybody's best interest. Because the parking lots are managed from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., the guests who are staying overnight would have to go to their vehicles in the morning and, you know, get a new ticket, put it in their vehicles, and then do that every night. So they keep an accounting of the vehicles and the guests that stay and park and provide that accounting to the city every month. And that arrangement has yielded, I mean, last year was $106,000 of parking fees that they would give the city. It was $86,000 the year before. They understand that the parking is on a first-come, first-served basis. They're not guaranteed any parking spaces. They provide a hang tag that tell our officers that, you know, they're part of the hotel, and then they just pay whatever they use at the end of the month. So this agreement, I think the amendment included a provision to automatically renew so that we don't have to come through council every year to authorize this. We have an option to
back out
if we want to. If we have an event you know, the city obviously has takes precedence over the use of those parking spaces. And if council decides to change the fees to the parking there, then they would be automatically updated as well.
It's worked well.
It has worked well. Haven't had any issues with it. So we recommend approving it.
Other questions or? Got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next, consideration of recommendation from Real Property Committee to approve an amount not to exceed $15,000 for the installation of a pervious patio area behind the public restroom on Front Beach. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. Desiree?
Yes. Yes. We are proposed. Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Sure. Okay. Front Beach restrooms, that area where we have two picnic shelters. I don't know if you have seen, one of them has no longer has the top part. To replace that, the cost is roughly between $5,000 and $6,000. So Robert has been working on a plan to improve the look of Front Beach and enhance it. That area is heavily used. It has grass. It again has those two sitting areas. We thought that it would be a good idea to remove those picnic shelters, those picnic tables, and incorporate some sort of pavers right there. There's a lot of traffic and not a lot of sun. That way the grass doesn't really grow and it always looks ugly. And we would incorporate some sort of design there, and the goal would be to add additional seating and an area near the public restrooms at the back with some Adirondack chairs to add more seating to that area. And we think it'll look a lot nicer and it'll be more inviting and provide, I guess, additional seating. So this would be for the paving. We have two estimates so far. They are in the $12,000 range. So the approval would be not to exceed $15,000, knowing that we're getting additional, at least three quotes for that work. And our goal would be to have that installed before the beginning of the summer season this year. A couple years ago, council made the decision to increase the budget item for the landscaping to particularly target Front Beach and improvements there. So this is just part of that overall plan. So it is included in the state aid tax budget for additional Front Beach enhancements.
Questions, comments, Mayor?
Have we talked to the surrounding commercial property owners just to get their feedback?
We have not.
I mean, we got an email from Mr. Coconut Joe from Tennessee or wherever he is nowadays, but you know, I always like to kind of make sure that we're talking to our commercial district, that they're on board, that we're trying to improve the looks down there, and just to kind of keep them in the loop more than anything else.
Sure, we can do that.
And I still kind of think like Okra's Grill to get that big old Adirondack chair, but get in and take a picture of. What a great way of promoting just food for thought.
Any questions, comments? Got a motion, a second. All everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay. I'm named just because we haven't talked to the neighbors.
Okay, thank you. Item H, report on budgeted replacement of HVAC unit for rec center officers pursuant to section 1-10-3C of the code of ordinances.
Yeah, this is just a report only according to the code. If there are any expenditures made over $10,000 under $25,000 that are budgeted, I just let you all know for the recreation center, we had to replace some HVAC units. That was at a cost of $12,000. We have a number in the budget just in case, only with failure. So some of them did fail. So this is just a report on those expenditures.
And it was hot in there.
It happens.
It does happen. Thank you, Desiree.
You're welcome.
My update on fiscal year 21 budget. I think almost everybody in this room was at the session last week. So, John, this is for you. personal session, public. So our first workshop on the 12th last week, a couple hours of really good conversation and discussion about multiple paths and directions and priorities and ideas. And I think we all walked away with solidified, from a project standpoint, drainage and the marina, top two, without a doubt, going into the budget, need to be taken care of somehow, some way. Had a whole other list of wish list items and projects that we'll see where we wind up in the first draft of the budget, which has been completed, thanks to Ms. Suggs already. So Debbie and Desiree and I met today and looked through the first draft of the budget. Desiree and I will chew on that for about a week and make sure we're in a good spot. And then we have another workshop on March 12th that we will walk through with you all the full draft of the first budget from a revenue and expense standpoint and kind of see where we stand with regard to all the ideas we talked about, the projects kind of sat on the side, if you will, all the revenue ideas we had, and just let you see where we wind up with our first draft. So I think, again, really good conversation, a lot of really good work by staff, as usual, on getting us to the first draft of the budget. So I think we'll be in a good spot by March 12th to have a good conversation on the first draft. Yes, sir.
Quick logistical, what time on March 12th?
4 o'clock.
4 to 6.
Yeah.
12. Thank you.
Trying to accommodate. Yeah.
Okay. Other question, or Desiree or Debbie,
no?
Anything else to add?
Then we're in good shape.
Miscellaneous business. Our next meeting, actually, I think, is 6 o'clock.
That is true.
On March 17th. Everybody got that word except our security guard. Sorry.
I remember you all talking about that.
Well, he's getting paid anyway.
Mr. Chair,
yes, sir.
You know, March 17th is a big day for me. St. Patrick's Day. I wish we could keep it at 5 o'clock so I can get downtown to my Hibernian, smoke a cigar once a year.
Well, for that reason, I'm fine with 5.
I don't care.
Starting at 5?
Oh, that's better. Just that one time.
All right, so our next meeting, March
17th, 5 o'clock. Thank you all very much.
You're never
going to
know when to show up.
I'll bring a cigar for you.
Oh, wait, are we talking about?
We're talking about the regular meeting.
Regular Ways and Means Committee.
That's not there.
So, item 8, executive session pursuant to 30-4-70A2 to receive legal advice related to a proposed civil settlement offered for Jonathan Gandolfo. Council may take action on matters discussed in executive session upon returning. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Kevin, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you all for coming. We're going to head into executive session. Take a break.
Yeah, we are. John's got this.
Except for our guard.
There's a chasing guard.
I have the cameras on.
You're back on the record at 7:25.
They're out of court.
Is there anyone out there?
Just the chief.
Just staff members.
Okay.
All right, 7:25, Council Ways and Means is coming out of executive session. We have a motion.
You don't need a motion from out of executive session?
No.
And no decisions were made during
executive session.
I move that we reject the offer and maintain the city's position that this is a historic tree and stand by prior decisions.
Second.
Who?
Rusty.
Thank you.
Questions? Comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ryan? Oh, motion to adjourn.
Second.
John, second.
That was because I was getting worried that I couldn't evade something.